Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good, Gabe.
All right, so I have you and Christian Fowler on the show today, and I want to ask this in no uncertain terms. How much thought should the athletic department at the University of Memphis give to moving on from Ryan Silverfield?
Thought? I mean, there's no reason not to think. There's no reason not to think. But I don't, it's funny because, I mean, I was listening to Jason and John, and Jason is, you know, pounding the drum.
Yep.
And I just don't think it's a realistic conversation, right? You know, the guy, he has clearly not been good enough. He has not been good enough. He has not accomplished what he wanted to. He's not accomplished what the university would want him to. He's not accomplished what the fans would want him to. It is unacceptable to go 6 years at the University of Memphis when you take over the program where it was, to go 6 years without getting to a conference title game. That is not performing at the level that was expected or is desired. Having said that, you don't fire a guy for being pretty good at Memphis, right? You know?
For 10 wins, 11 wins, then potentially 9 or 10 wins this year if he's able to finish strong.
Again, like, it's funny because the wins, and I don't really give a damn about the bowl wins. You know, like people say, talk about the bowl game. I think by the bowl game, people have checked out pretty much. I don't think bowl wins help you drive momentum for the program. And I think in the end, the job is to win conference championships, like, you know, or at least, I mean, literally the 3 years before he got there, I think they were in the conference championship game, and both of his predecessors won conference championships in a much tougher conference.
Yep.
And he has more money and he's doing less with it. So if you want to be grumpy that he hasn't done more, and by the way, attendance has continued to decline. I don't think he's a very good promoter of the program. So, having said that, he wins 9 or 10 or 11 games, and he runs a extraordinarily well-organized program. The players seem to like him. You don't have any particular turmoil in the program.
I do love that, though, Jeff, because people hate hearing that. I'm with you.
I know, but I think it means something. Like, it means to have a well-run program, I think.
That gives you fans, that gets you big-money fans behind the scenes.
Well, that's the other thing. To me, all of this goes to the fact that I just can't believe that either the administration and or the boosters, the rich boosters, are motivated to get rid of them.
Right.
And so, therefore, I don't take
that's
it
where
seriously
I'm at.
As a discussion. I just
that's,
don't. You
that's
know.
Exactly so, where I'm so at.
I literally wouldn't. I mean, again, and I think it's compelling that Jason feels as strongly as he does, and I listen to him, and I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. If someone was motivated, if there was someone over there with a lot of money, if Fred Smith were still alive, and Fred Smith, you know, was just furious that more hadn't been accomplished, and was willing to say, "Listen, if you get rid of him, I'll give you another $100 million. You know, like whatever. I just want more." If there was a incredibly motivated, well-heeled booster who didn't think that a B-plus program was acceptable, then I think you would be saying, oh, well, let's explore that. And you'd think about, even then, you'd have to look at who in the market is available. Like, this is a
right
year to be hiring a coach.
Sure.
Again, that's the other thing. So much of this is let's make a change you don't, like, making a change from Josh Pastner to Tubby didn't work because they hired Tubby, right? So it's also,
yep,
if you were to make a change, you'd want to know who you're getting before you would make a change. So could they be thinking about that? I just don't think, I personally don't think that it's anything that Ed Scott spends any time on.
Right, right. You know, right.
I just don't believe it's a realistic conversation. And so is it perfectly reasonable to be dissatisfied with how he is doing and what has been accomplished? I think it is perfectly reasonable. Is it really? Do I believe it's prompting any sort of a discussion over there about making a change? I do not. I think it's much more likely. I think it's still unlikely that he's going to get another job. But I think it's much more likely that he would get another job on his own than he would be right. dismissed.
Yeah. Now here's like both sides. If you're wanting to move on and move into the future, you would say that you know, this program, it's in a great spot, and I do agree with that. They have a bunch of resources, new facilities, new stadium's going to be up and running by next year. Like there's a lot going for this program. Any coach would, you know, up and coming offensive coordinator, what have you, because that's what's worked in the past, they'd be willing to jump into this gig, hit the ground running, and make some things happen. But if you're on the side of, hey, let's stick with Ryan, you would say, well, be careful what you wish for. You know, once upon a time, Larry Porter was here, and we thought that was going to be a great hire. And you can't forfeit good results and just hope for better results in the future. So, like, when you look at those polls, you look at those conversations. I feel like, knowing you, I know which side of the fence you may land on. But what do you relate more to?
I don't particularly relate to either of those.
Okay.
Because
okay.
To me, I don't think. The fear of Larry Porter.
Well, that's just an example. I'm not.
I know, but yeah. It's to me not a. Is that is, the reason why I would not do it? Listen, I really do believe there's a very good chance that if you were to fire him, that the person who replaced him would go to at least one championship game in the next 6 years. I would place serious money on it, right?
Okay.
I think, now, would they have that record in bowl games? Would they have that record against Power Four teams? Would they win as high at it consistently? Maybe not. Probably not. Would they have after 6 years, would they have the same winning percentage that Ryan has? Probably not. But would they get to a championship game in the next 6 years at the University of Memphis? I think absolutely they would. So I'm not. To me, it's not so much that. It's just I operate in the real world. I can see the argument. The argument to me to make the change would be, listen, this is a critical time at the University of Memphis, and although he is consistent and good, he's not excellent. He's
and
not
we'll
dominant.
Have takers, and, ultimately.
And we need dominant. Well, that's what we need. We need to be Cincinnati before they got snapped up. We need to be UCF before they snapped up. And this is the time to roll the dice. What we're seeing is a program that finishes fourth and fourth and sixth and fourth and third, and that is just not going to get knocked the door down for us, and we need to knock the door down, and so that's why we're going to make the change. I think that would be the argument, and plus we see attendance, you know, declining pretty much every year. So the problem is, I just don't think that it's realistic, because I don't think anyone is motivated to make this change. I think people who have money fundamentally like Ryan. I think the administrators fundamentally like Ryan. I think they like the fact that, honestly, even though there was seventy new players, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of turmoil in the program. They're not quitting. They play hard for him. You know, like, and the truth of the matter is, this is kind of a ridiculous thing to say. I think next year could literally be the year for Ryan. I don't put it beyond Ryan that next year is finally the year. Hell, the Tulane may be really rebuilding again, and USF may be rebuilding again.
Jeff, that's another thing people don't like to hear, is that there has been since he took over. Well, there has been positive steps in the right direction. Obviously, the 2-6-6 years were bad. Takes over during COVID. NIL hits. Blah blah blah. You can make all the excuses in the world. I'm sure he wouldn't even make those excuses for himself. You still got to be better. But the overall record he has against teams over 500 is 12-19. He was 5-12 in the first 3 years. He's been 7-7 in the next 3 years following that. Once he sort of got his feet wet, hit the ground, understood how to recruit, understood how to use the transfer portal to his advantage. Like, there's some things that have improved the last 3 years, whether people want to admit it or not.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's be clear. Two things really have improved. One, they don't have to play Cincinnati, UCF, Houston. Let's be honest.
Yes, correct.
The conference, he started winning at this level once the conference got much easier and his resources got much better.
That
right?
too.
So, and it's funny. I find myself just in the middle of this, totally in the middle of this discussion. Because when people try to tell me that he's so great, I say, well, why the hell is he still here? Like, why is he the only one who never gets a job? Don't tell me that he's here because he loves it. He's here because no one else thinks he should get a job. So how great could he be? Having said that, anyone who wants to tell me he's a disaster, he's just not. Like, he cranks out winning seasons every single year. Like, and there's been, you're exactly right, it's not getting worse, it's getting better. The truth of the matter is, to judge him on this year, this year was supposed to be a rebuilding year, and look at how quickly and effectively he rebuilt. He picked a quarterback that, honestly, a lot of people didn't believe in, but he was right about. He gets 70 new players, all of whom buy in. He had a hideous result against UAB.
Yep.
An absolutely hideous result against UAB. But I just don't think at Memphis any of this is a firing offense. You know, yep. I just don't. If he'd been 500 this year, if he hadn't pulled out the wins against Arkansas or South Florida or whatever, you hire people for being bad. You don't hire for being at Memphis. You fire people. You don't fire people at Memphis for being good but not quite good enough. I just don't. Again, I don't think it's a. I don't think it's a realistic conversation.
It's kind of funny because, like, you get the people that say it's a terrible take to say, well, he's good, not good enough, but you're not willing to make a switch. Well, no, I think those things can exist at the same time. He's good. It hasn't been good enough, but it's also not bad enough to make a switch.
Right. I think some people would say that's
one of the layers of hell for them, but I don't necessarily feel that way, and I don't get the sense that you feel that way.
No, that's exactly. Well, partly because I think good but not good enough doesn't motivate. Doesn't even matter what I think, and truthfully, it probably doesn't matter what Ed Scott thinks. It is good but not good enough doesn't motivate people to pony up the money to buy him out and pay his successor, right?
Right.
And so, if what motivates people to make a change is either you're at a place where, you know, like Ohio State once upon a time when they fired Jim Tressel or whatever, like that went good enough, like they is so demanding of excellence that and has crazy boosters, not crazy, but as ambitious boosters who won't accept that. I just don't think Memphis has that. And so even if I thought that, I'd like someone else to be coaching this team and see what they could do, it doesn't matter. I don't have $40 million to pony up for this, you know? So that's why, for me, the good but good enough is, and therefore, no one will be motivated to do, in the administration, the boosters, whatever, to make a change. Of course they won't be. You know, of course they won't be. I go back to the fact that I don't think it's realistic. And I also, this is the thing that and maybe I'm naive here. I don't think... That it's impossible that he will ultimately get, like, unlike Josh Pastner, there's been a lot of talk about the Pastner era, right? Josh was forced out not for being get to the tournament and not be good enough, not for being good and not good enough. He was forced out when he started missing the tournament, when he started being bad. That's when he was forced out. Then people got enraged, started losing players. There was evidence of turmoil in the program. People were transferring. He wasn't getting the recruits he wanted. And they missed the tournament two straight years. He was run out. That's what motivated people. Good, but not good enough does not motivate people at Memphis to make a change. Right. Tubby didn't get fired because he was good and not good enough. He got fired because he was a freaking disaster. You know, he wasn't making the tournament. He wasn't doing the bare minimum. And Ryan is doing much more than the bare minimum.
Yep.
He's good. He's just not good enough.
Yep.
So far.
Yep. All right, I need your Lane Kiffin takes. What do you think of the current situation, the way Ole Miss fans are reacting? He's keeping up his Lane Kiffin act because he is Lane Kiffin. He's not going to change for anybody. Although I did say yesterday, if there was ever a time in his career to act less like Lane Kiffin, it would probably be right this second with all these $100 million+ decisions, you know, that are going to be made around the country and in the you know, football coaching realm in the SEC. But I need your Lane Kiffin takes. What are your thoughts on the current situation and how it's playing out?
Well, I mean, it's so reminiscent of the Calipari thing when he was here before he left. You know, when there are some coaches who will flirt every year, or will flirt, you know, it's part of what they do. They like being wanted. They like whatever. And the truth of the matter is, just for any other line of work, you know, it would be fine to go explore another job, and it would be silly not to, you know, to put, if you can get your family to go look at Baton Rouge because you want to be you know, the new head of a company there, you would absolutely do that. Like, I totally understand the desire to explore other opportunities. And I also understand why it would frustrate Ole Miss fans, right? Well, this must be frustrating as hell. But in the end, if he stays, the fact that he has flirted with and will flirt again, it just doesn't matter. You know, once upon a time, maybe it mattered because you'd be recruiting against some another team, and that team could say, hey, Lane Silvers is not even going to be there another year. He doesn't. He's not loyal to the program. Well, no one is anymore. Every player thinks they're going to be there for a year now, too. So if you're an Ole Miss fan, you just have to put up with it. I do understand why it's irritating, but the truth of the matter is, it didn't matter when John flirted with Pitt when he was at Memphis. It didn't matter when he flirted with NC State when he was at Memphis. The only thing that matters is when he decided to go to Kentucky. Yeah. Right? That's the only thing that matters. And so as I analyze this, the only question is, does all of this suggest that he might actually leave Ole Miss? And I do think that it does at least suggest that there's a real possibility that he's gonna leave.
I think, I don't know the full timing and if they've tried to sit down at a table and work out a upgraded contract, but my assumption is, and history tells us, at least the past 5 years, 10 years, that you would have had a contract extension done if you weren't going to leave. Kurt Cignetti did it. Yeah. There's other coaches around the country that have done it. You know, that's where I land on this. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion he's going to end up at LSU or Florida.
Of course he did.
No, what I'm saying, but if
he dragged it out with Auburn,
if he was going to stay at Ole Miss, I feel like we would have absolutely gotten that pen to paper and signed on the dotted line for, you know, $15 to $16 million per year.
Then what does happen with this supposedly deadline? He's got to tell him.
Well, he said that doesn't exist, Jeff. Come on. Today on Pat McAfee, he said it doesn't exist. Although I know for a fact there is some type of deadline that needs to be met because you have to hit the ground running with whatever coach you're going to have with the portal and the calendar.
What do you do if you are Ole Miss? Do you just let him coach?
I don't know if they can afford to do that. Just because of the calendar, just because of what you have to do if he does indeed leave to ultimately get your team ready for the next season.
So you put Joe Judge in terms of the playoff run? That's what you do, right?
Joe Judge is probably the likely answer. I guess Pete Golding would be in there as well, the DC.
You think that literally is how this could play out? He coaches the Egg Bowl, and then it emerges that he's going somewhere else, and then... And they say, we want an Ole Miss man to coach Ole Miss. And that's that.
I think that is very, very possible. I think it's a function
what
of how
crazy,
how
stupid
well,
world
but that's what I'm saying. It's like I don't this, think it's know? A function of I don't think it's necessarily Lane Kiffin's problem. I think it's the college football calendar and recruiting that forces these moves to be made and forces the situation to have to be like that.
Well, it is exactly why the NFL is a better system, right? They have a commissioner, and so they don't let you know you don't you, you there are certain times when you can go if you're a coordinator, go interview for another head coaching job, but it's a much more rational system. This will be a unbelievable slap in the face to the playoff system if that's how it played out.
Yes,
and to Ole Miss fans. Could you imagine? They're treating this like it's the frickin' Poulon Weed Eater Bowl or something. You know, like it's, well, someone else can coach this. It's like the when Fuente left for, you know, Virginia Tech. And you had Doug Dickey? Who was it?
Daryl Dickey, yep.
Daryl Dickey? I'm sorry.
I had him on the show a couple of months ago, and he said he felt like a substitute teacher. That was pretty funny.
Such a good guy. I'm a big Daryl Dickey fan. But yeah, it's. Can you imagine that is how you handle a playoff system? So I feel bad for Ole Miss fans if that's the way it goes. And you know what? They will hate him.
For sure. No doubt.
They will absolutely hate him, and they should. People will try to tell them, tried to tell Ole Miss fans. They will hate him. And that's what it's just what fans do.
Yes, yeah.
And you can be grateful, whatever else, blah, blah, blah. You can acknowledge that it's human nature. People live their own lives, whatever. But as a fan, when someone leaves voluntarily who you want to stay, your job is to hate them.
Well, and I know you say it doesn't necessarily matter. If he comes back, he comes back. They'll start to love him again. I get that part of it. It only matters if he leaves.
True.
That's when they hate. But I do think there is, with the way this has played out, there is a level of, like, they have to buy back in. They have to, you know, let bygones be bygones if he ultimately ends back up at Ole Miss. Because I see a lot of Ole Miss fans angry, frustrated, media members angry, frustrated at this moment. And I get it. I understand it.
Well, my only question is, I can totally get that. I don't think there's much. Listen, they bought in after he did this with Auburn. Do they love him today? Yes, they love him today. I mean, they don't love him because he's doing it again. But, like, you get over it. It's not an issue. They would love him if he comes back. To me, the bigger question is his willingness to irritate them again in a way that he is, right? Is that, again, suggestive that, well, he's willing to do that because you believe me? You know, if he actually was going to come back, even Lane would realize that this level of discomfort, emotional discomfort that he is inflicting on the fan base is inappropriate. And
it's
another sign that he's leaving. I think it is.
But with Lane, it's so much different. He's done this to multiple fan bases. He's done this pretty consistently throughout his career. And I guess it depends on if you think he's learned from his past mistakes or if he's still the same guy.
I think if you want to come back, and if you have dragged them through these emotions before, you would probably be. It's why Cignetti does this. It's why the people who sign the contract and get it over with, because they don't want to. Let's not. We don't need to go through this. Let's not go through this. Let's put everyone through this. I'm staying anyway. So why not just go ahead and sign it now? And so one reason to incur the wrath of the fans the way that Lane has is because you're leaving. So who the hell cares? You know, I mean, it's the price you have to pay. I think right now I would wager that he is leaving, and you very clearly would wager that he's leaving.
Yes. I everything's pointing to one thing, and that's that he's not necessarily staying at Ole Miss. Oh God. Is it crazy? I'm going to ask you this. Is it crazy if I think Florida's more likely than LSU?
I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. You're at it, you know.
Even though LSU is very clearly the better job.
I think LSU is the better job. But Florida is a place where you sort of always, you know.
The Spurrier thing, like he always ended up back in the state of Florida.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, yeah.
But that's just, you know, considering the jobs he's up for, it is kind of strange to think that
I would say
Florida is the more likely.
Do you think he would care at all that going to leaving Ole Miss for LSU would even enrage Ole Miss fans more? It probably doesn't enter his mind. It would, because that's one of their traditional rivalries. Florida is not.
I don't think he cares.
I'm kind of with you. Yeah. I don't think that's going to enter into it.
And by the way, I'm doing my power rankings tomorrow. I need to ask you about your Bills. They're far too inconsistent. They frustrate the hell out of me watching them. You lose the Dolphins, then back that up with a 6-touchdown performance from Josh Allen.
It required unbelievable heroism by Josh Allen. He is, you know, over at the Athletic, they do a thing, the most betrayed quarterback index, where they talk about, I think it's like, what the rest of your team does to contribute winning. And the most betrayed quarterbacks this year by the rest of their team are Dak and Josh. They're just not very good defensively. Now they're banged up defensively. And they don't have, you know, they don't really have their weapons at wide receiver.
One of those things is not like the other, though, because Dak, I mean, offensively has just about everything he needs.
No. Yes.
I know what you mean, though. Defensively, his defense is last in the NFL. It's been horrible. Although last night, a step in the right direction, Quinnen Williams made an instant impact.
Quinnen Williams is something. Yeah, he's a dude. But yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, here's the other thing. I think right now the most likely scenario for the Bills is they're going to end up as a wild card, and they will end up probably right now. They would end up with the first wild card, which means they would play the least accomplished division winner, which means they would play at the Ravens, and they would lose to the Ravens, and that would be their revenge for the Ravens' revenge for week one.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, they would get run over by the Ravens in Baltimore. So that's my prediction.
You support me leaving them off my power rankings.
Well, how deep do they go?
Five. I go top five.
Not five. They're not in top five. Okay. In the top ten, they'd make it in there somewhere. But they're, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not in the top five.
I got you. Well, Jeff, I'll let you roll. Good talking with you.
See ya.
He's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. And he's been brought to you by Robert Irwin Jewelers, who have the Give Gifts to Get Gifts sale going on right now, now through Saturday. Spend $19.99 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you can get free Apple AirPods Pro 3. Why not go take advantage right now? It's very rare to go have to pay for some jewelry for the holidays and ultimately get gifts back for yourself. That's a phenomenal deal. Go take advantage. It's a huge diamond sale going on right now. And this week only, all bridal jewelry up to 50% off. Plus, mention you heard me, Gabe Kuhn, and you can get an extra 10% off your bridal purchase. And what's great about going and shopping at Robert Irwin Jewelers for your fine jewelry is if you buy your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring, you get the meant-to-be guarantee from Robert Irwin Jewelers, meaning you have 365 days to return it for a full refund, no questions asked. A lot can happen in a year, and they try to protect you from those things potentially happening. They also have free ring sizing for life. They have free jewelry spa service for life to make sure that you keep that fine jewelry bright and sparkling like the day that you bought it. They also have great financing options. 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay. Robert Irwin Jewelers does it better. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations are online at rijewelers.com. All right, now we need to take a trip around the National Football League. We do that next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, presented by Caesars Sportsbook, inside Horseshoe Tunica, on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Jamar Chase, who spat directly onto Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey hit him with a two-piece. He's suspended for a game, but he says, according to him and the Bengals, he's going to appeal his one-game suspension for spitting on Jalen Ramsey. And can I be the person he appeals to? Can I give my answer? You're still suspended a game, Jamar. I don't know what they're going to try to do. I guess they could try to make a case from early in the season. Remember when Jalen Carter spat on Dak Prescott before the game? You could say, well, he wasn't suspended for an extra game. Well, he didn't play in the game that he spat on Dak. He logged zero snaps. So I don't know if you have much of a case there. But if it's up to me, brother, you spit on Jalen Ramsey, then you lied about it after the game. Like, just stay suspended. Your team stinks anyway. It's fine. You can take the hits off your body. Just do it that way. But I don't even know why he's appealing. What, do you get this, Connor? Do you understand this at all?
I understand a little. I think that they're just hoping that maybe the appeal means he gets to play a game. Well, I don't know. They may have some illusion of still being in the playoff hunt. I don't know.
Okay. You have to really, really wreck your brain to think that the Bengals have any chance to get in the playoffs and make any noise.
Like, I don't disagree with you. If you're just asking me to find any reason, it's...
But, brother, you did it in the second half, then you lied about it after the game.
Right.
Take your suspension. You didn't get kicked out of the game. Like, Jalen Carter got kicked out of the game, and they figured it out on field. You didn't get kicked out of the game. You played the entire game.
Right.
So you get your suspension. It seems fair. I know one guy that does not agree with the suspension that we need to talk about next. Or
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Does not agree with him appealing. Mike Tomlin was asked by Pittsburgh media, you know, what's the proper response for someone spitting on you? Here's him.
You know, I have no message if someone spits in your face. Do what comes natural.
I agree with you, Mike. Do what comes natural. And if you feel like you need to hit somebody with a two-piece like Jalen Ramsey did, totally agree with you. That's fine. That's fine. You're probably going to get kicked out of the game. We know how when you retaliate on a field of play or on a court, you're usually the one that gets caught. But you know what? I'm all for Mike Tomlin having the back of his player in that situation. You spit on me, I get to punch you in the face. That's sort of how it works. Also,
the New York Giants.
Sorry, I apologize. I apologize, Connor. All on me there. Also, just real quick on the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers is going to avoid surgery on his left wrist, so they haven't given a timetable. We'll see how it works out. He still has a fracture in it, but they're not going to operate on it.
The New York Giants.
Now, there it is. Did you see the report about how there's some issues within the Giants locker room and how their third overall pick, Abdul Carter, was sleeping through a meeting and he was sleeping in the facility at the time? My original, like, reaction to that is, like, I've been through this where, you know, you're in camp and somebody has a roommate and they oversleep and the roommate doesn't wake them up and they end up oversleeping the meetings in the morning. My first reaction was like, if he's sleeping in the facility, that's bad teammate stuff right there. Wake him up and get him to the damn meeting. Now, he vehemently denies it. That's the update. He denies, Abdul Carter denies that he slept through a walkthrough practice last week. And he said he was getting treatment at the time of the walkthrough. I don't care. Giants stink anyway, but I will say this. If he's lying about it and he slept through it, that's something that the Giants have to come to terms with. You have to make him grow into being a professional. And if he is not giving that to you as a third overall pick in this draft, even with all the talent he has in the world, that could be a problem with you going into the future.
The Houston Texans.
CJ Stroud's still out. Still out. Davis Mills is going to go this weekend. CJ... It's been a tough fall from grace for him since his rookie year, hadn't it? Last year, not great. This year, worse. Now he's injured. And I understand, like, the offense has taken a step back. They haven't given him some offensive linemen to work with, all that. I get it. But Davis Mills has filled in pretty decently for him. And I don't see that much of a drop-off. And honestly, at times, I've felt that Davis Mills has played better than him. It's just kind of sad to see how quickly his career turned. Coming out of his rookie year, there were discussions about him being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL and a guy that you would start your franchise with on that short list of like 3, 4, 5 names. Now, I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that's like giving him passing grades. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that's saying the same things that they were after his rookie year or his rookie year. So I think he needs to get back on the field and play well here soon, or it's going to get ugly, and the conversations are going to start getting uncomfortable for him. But we'll see.
The Cleveland Browns.
Poor Shedeur Sanders. Goes 4-for-16, throws a pick, gets sacked 3 times, whatever the hell it was. Gives up a lead. They lose to the Ravens, the Browns do, in his first action. After not getting first-team reps, whatever. I get that point. But it turns out while that was happening, his home was being robbed. And burglars ended up breaking in and stealing $200,000 worth of property from Shedeur Sanders while this was happening. And, you know, I think the idea here is that it's sort of the same idea. Like, Luka Doncic went through it, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Travis Kelce. You know, it's very organized. Organized people breaking in. They said it was gang-related. I think it was Argentinian gang or something like that. It was breaking into these houses while these guys were on away trips or at the facility at the stadium and taking as much as they could. But they got $200,000 from Shedeur Sanders. That's tough to have that result in your first game and then come home to all of your property being stolen. Hopefully he's got insurance. I don't know what to say outside of that. But I do need Rex Ryan to step up to the get upset and say, why did he have $200,000? He's a showboat.
Rex has got to relax.
He's ridiculous.
Well,
and I think Rex, because I've been annoyed by the other side of it, where they're like, it's a conspiracy. It's Kevin Stefanski. He hates him. They want him to fail so they can get rid of him. Like, I hate that side, too. But what I've noticed is the more Rex talks, the more that side gets dug in. It's a two-way street here.
I get it.
And Rex needs to shut his mouth.
Yeah, Rex sounds ridiculous.
It's too much. It's far too much.
Hey, Shador's starting, though.
He's what?
He's going to start.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that official?
I saw a ton of it yesterday.
From who?
I think Schefter.
Okay. Dylan Gabriel's still in concussion protocol. I know that.
Right. He's expected to start if Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Stefanski, I'd imagine he's going to wait till the last second to see if Dylan Gabriel can clear concussion protocol before he names a starter. But maybe he has already. I didn't see that news. I did not get to see that news.
Yeah, it's this is from yesterday. Shedeur Sanders to make first NFL start for Browns.
How about it? So my prediction before the season, it's coming true. Not how I expected it to. I'll be honest. Not how I expected it to. But Shedeur Sanders is going to make a start.
Yeah, this is on CBS Sports.
Well, we'll see how
expected.
He does.
So I guess if Dylan Gabriel miraculously recovers, he won't. But
yeah,
as of now, yeah, looks like he's starting.
But also with that means that Shedeur Sanders is probably going to get some first-team reps this week.
I would hope so. Now, if Shedeur is starting this game and doesn't get first-team reps, maybe I'll listen to the conspiracy theories.
Yeah, is Bailey Zappi still on that roster? If they give Bailey Zappi the starting reps, even though Shedeur is going to start, yeah, that would be something. All right, now this segment's been brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery. Make sure you get to Old Dominic, book a tour and tasting. Visit their wonderful distillery. 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. And also, when you go to your local liquor store, buy a bottle of Old Dominic today. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. They have award-winning selections of that whiskey and bourbon and a new premium vodka that you need to get your hands on today. And as we get into the colder weather months, get your hands on a bottle of that toddy. It's the oldest spirit that they have at Old Dominic, and it is phenomenal. It pairs well with winter. Make a hot toddy out of it. But a spirit from Old Dominic is the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in this city. And as we approach...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Approach the holidays, make sure you join them for a sneak peek of their Blue Christmas holiday pop-up. With the holiday pop-up, they will have cocktail specials, photo ops, they'll have souvenir glassware for you to go buy and bring home. It's from November 20th to January 4th, 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. I'll keep reminding you of it, but it's November 20th through January 4th, their Blue Christmas holiday pop-up. It should be very, very fun. Old Dom Distillery, come say hi. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll wrap up hour number two with Small Talk next.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Today, the NBA has issued a warning to Draymond Green for his interaction with a vocal fan in New Orleans on Sunday night. The fan was apparently chanting Angel Reese toward Draymond Green, who then responded with a face-to-face interaction as the taunts continued. That's from Shams Charania. It is kind of funny. There's a couple of things that I find funny about this. One, it was a really good troll job because right before the guy started calling him Angel Reese, he missed 4 putback layups. He started the game 0-for-6 from the field because of 4 misses on putback layups, which we do know Angel Reese does. Also, of all of the things to get bent out of shape about from Draymond Green, this is the one you pick to like really go after a fan for? Like this, that's not even that hateful. It's not even that bad. Well, at least we do know, and I know the Warriors don't travel to Memphis until February 25th. At least we know if you sit courtside or close to the court on February 25th, we know how to get under Draymond Green's skin now.
Yeah.
And he's for being that, you know, obnoxious night to night, kind of soft. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Hour number 3 is on the way, or at least half hour number 3. Christian Fowler next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.